Steve, I gotta ask you. You and I are both dog owners.
Yep.
What's the best and worst part about having a dog?
Well, the best part, I guess, they're nice, friendly creatures. The worst part is they poo and pee. Yeah, everywhere.
I can't think of anything more wonderful than having a dog, except when he falls sick and I need to make that dreaded visit to the vet.
Okay. Because it goes ka-ching.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm always out of pocket by a few $100s, depending, right? I mean, he's generally quite healthy, but he has a recurring skin problem. So,
Yeah, I found that to be the case too. And over the years, we've been to different vets, and I've noticed that the prices can vary quite a bit. So for
the
same kind of treatment, one guy could be 30% more than the other.
Yep.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to find out. We did a quick comparison of about 6 clinics, and prices are pretty wide.
Mm-hmm.
Basic consultations can go from as little as, say, $25 to as high as $65. Of course, depending on whether the vet is senior, junior, etc. Just like doctors, right? Or even hairdressers, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Same for blood tests. Anything from $95 to $500. Again, depending on what tests are being ordered. There are lots of caveats. Okay, so we understand that there's transparency in showing the prices. But is there transparency in how they are set?
Maybe I'll explain from my point of view how we set prices, and then I can sort of give you an example and see what, like, how others do it possibly. So for us, I don't like to charge more for the medication, because I feel like if medications are required, they should be charged a fair amount so that everyone can afford it. And people wouldn't be like, oh, I can't afford this medication.
But what do you mean by charge more?
Like, we get medications from suppliers.
Okay.
And then, you know, usually people double the price and things like that. But then some of the cost price of these medications are really expensive because of, you know, the economy of scale. So, like, many of the clinics, they run it alone, right?
Yep.
So they can't order so many. Like, the stock is not so high. So then, you know, it's quite expensive for medications.
Okay.
So then when we charge it to owners, if we just double the price, a lot of the medications may be unaffordable. So then what my husband and I do, we actually look at the kind of medication and how much we are being charged by the suppliers. And then from there, we decide what's a fair price to pay for this medication, and is it a long-term medication?
So your markup is lower. Maybe if it costs $10, you charge them $12 for it.
Yes, possibly.
Instead of $20.
Yes, precisely.
I see. Okay.
So by doing that, we have to charge more for our services, which I feel like is fair, because we do provide quite very personable kind of service.
Yeah, yours is a door-to-door service. You literally go to their homes, right?
Yes, and we do spend like an hour with them each time.
Okay.
So instead of pricing more for medication, we charge more for our services. And then, you know, to some people, it could be expensive, but I feel like this is what I feel like we are.
Okay, so your theory is you're charging more for the personalized service and less for the actual medication.
Yes.
And when you say more, are you 50% more, 80% more than some other vets?
At the moment, we charge $180 for our consultation.
Okay.
But that includes me going there.
Like, yes.
So then a lot of people think that it's worthwhile because they don't have to take, like, get a pet transport. They can go all the way.
You don't have to
wait.
There.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. So that's how we think we are priced.
And I guess for your case, because in that same duration, you're seeing that one customer. If you were at the clinic, you may have seen two or three or four.
I think many more. Yeah.
Many more.
Okay.
So then you were saying that some of the clinics actually price themselves like a lot lower.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those that price a bit higher. I think that may have to do with the time spent on each patient. So each clinic has their own policy. So then you'll be like, oh, do we spend 15 minutes per patient? Or do we spend like 30 minutes to an hour? So depending on the kind of clinic they want to be, then they will price it accordingly.
So yours is a little bit different in the business sense of the word, right?
Yep.
I mean, your setup costs, etc. is very different from a clinic.
Yes.
Which has to deal with rental, which has to deal with equipment, which has to deal with staff, etc. Right, so maybe Dr. Chi, you want to, you know, like, weigh in on how do you guys see this, like, as AVS, what are some of the key things that you look for when it comes to vets?
Maybe I would start off by explaining where AVS comes from. So our mandate is to safeguard animal health and animal welfare. And in order to safeguard that, we regulate the vet sector in the sense that we ensure that certain standards of care and veterinary professionalism are met.
Okay.
And as part of that, the setting of prices and determining how much a vet has to charge for services and fees is actually out with beyond the mandate of this.
Okay.
As Angeline has explained, depending on the circumstances or situation surrounding a specific business entity or clinic, it might have to adjust its pricing structure accordingly.
Are you saying, therefore, then it's the pricing is not regulated?
The pricing is actually not regulated.
And right now, it's not in the ambit of any government agency, right?
Yeah, it's a private kind of...
Leaving it to the private sector.
But you look at like other professionals as well. They can charge however much they want, right? So if you decide that this price is something you can pay and you think it's fair to pay for it, then you can go for their service. But if you think that it's too much for you, then you should go for another vet, you know?
Mm.
Like if you think this vet service is charging too much for you, then maybe it's not suitable for you.
Okay.
Because I feel like if no matter which vet you call, they'll tell you the price. If you ask them, like, oh, how much do you charge for consultation? They'll be pretty transparent.
Yeah, exactly.
From a non-industry person, you know, you look at the vets and you think, why are the prices so different for the same kind of treatment?
Yeah.
And yes, I take into account the location, the seniority of the doctor, but sometimes to still see a 30 to 40% disparity makes one ask, why is there such a big difference, you see? Whereas in the medical sector, when we go see a doctor, generally prices are about the same for a basic consult.
So like depending on where they want to put their overheads, where they want to put their like staff employment, like how much they pay the salary.
But
and
I think,
all this.
So you've shared with us your perspective and your business model is a little bit different. But so the same thing can be said for other vets that again, depending on their rental, how their charging model or business model, right?
Also because for human, right, like there's subsidies here and there which we don't have.
Ah.
So there comes this part which I feel very, very strongly about. I think is that when something is related to animal health, like health of a living thing, right?
There should be subsidies?
There should always be subsidies, in my opinion, unless you're going to say that only wealthy people can afford pets. So, you know, like for a sick person, let's say you're very sick and you don't have money, definitely you'll be able to get treatment somewhere.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's illegal not to give you any treatment.
Right.
And if you can pay for it, you can go for like the higher end treatment.
Sure. But people will argue with you and say, but these are people versus animals.
Yes.
They are not the same.
So as a society, we have to decide where do we put animals, you know, do we treat them like family? Do we treat them like commodity?
Okay.
Or do we treat them
I think it's an interesting point about
it's
subsidies.
It's a very interesting point,
because that is, so we're almost saying that some of our doctors may be able to charge a bit higher because, or lower, because there are subsidies in place to support the differences.
See, the other problem is, okay, I can pay, say, you know, something costs me $300-$400, etc. I can pay for it. But I don't have any avenue to claim insurance because insurance for pets is quite limited. Claim limits and the age limits, etc. You're right. I cannot use Medisave.
Yeah. You can't use your trust card either.
I can't use trust card. Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole different debate whether we should be able to use all that. Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like there should be more community clinics. Like that's my stand on it.
But then I would argue that's up to you guys, the vets. If you want to run community clinics, if you want to subsidize and support, go ahead.
And then we need some money.
No, but then they need
and then you go find a big sugar daddy, so-called, like a mass company to say, I will help you run your subsidized clinic.
At subsidized cost.
But
yes.
Many people wouldn't like pay for that kind because they will ask you, what's the profit margin? How much would you earn per month?
No,
but nobody will put in money.
We could also argue that there is the intangible benefit. So you have to tell them, this is why it will help your brand show that you care for animals and da, da, da.
I think most clinics do have, they do offer a special rate.
Yes.
For the folks from the welfare groups or, you know, stray feeders or cat
yes.
feeders, those who are rescuing animals and caring for animals from the community, the vets do, within at an individual clinic level, would offer some kind of special rate for them. But this, it wouldn't make economic sense to run a clinic as specialized clinic that just sees charity cases, like what the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals, for example, does in the UK. as a charity, they have their own fundraising. They have their own charity shops that sells products to raise money for animals.
Yeah.
People come and see a vet with their sick animal, and then they pay what they think.
Yeah, or what they can.
What they can.
So it's almost like a donation.
It's almost like a donation. So when I was in vet school, we would all do rotations through the PDSA. Yep. And it was quite sad to see some people turning up in really big fancy cars and going to see their see the vet with the animal. And then as they leave, you know, the color of the pound note they're slipping into the box. It's like 20 quid, you know, 10 quid. It
not
doesn't cover
it with
doesn't
the color
cover
of the car.
It doesn't. And
but that's human nature, right?
Yes.
No, I have to mention that SPCA has a community clinic, and they're the only one in Singapore at the moment. Unfortunately, they're seeing too many patients, and they have a lot of in-house patients. Yep. That's why it's very hard to open it up to the public, you know, full-fledged, because they themselves have to cope with their own animals.
Yeah.
So they do accept some community animals, because I was working there at times. And then we do get, like, people from the community coming in.
So so bottom line is regulation may not be ideal because people already have a tier. They know what they can afford. There's choice. It's quite wide.
And while there are specialist clinics, there are also like the animal equivalent of a GP clinic, which you would be able to see without paying your specialist fees.
So for what you're saying, there are options available, which means actually everybody who has a pet who needs care can get care.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But this is a worldwide problem. What you are talking about with the hike in price, insufficient vet, all this is worldwide. One vet in US put it very well. What happens is the vet pricing hasn't gone up for many, many years, for decades. Because people think that vets should be kind.
Right.
So a lot of vets started being vets because that's like
something... They love animals.
Yeah. So they are like, okay, we shall just absorb the cost. And
you know,
like,
do it pro bono because we're kind. And we actually...
Oh, really? You guys find that...
I guess you think that
find
there
that
is
a lot.
That expectation.
So a lot of people go into vet school because they love animals.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, you realize... Your clients, when they come and see you, they'll say things like, but you love animals, right? You should give me a discount. Why can't you spay my cat for free? Or something like that.
Right.
You won't find a mechanic coming and telling you, you love Mercedes-Benzes.
So you should fix my car for free, right?
Okay,
right. then is it the pet owner problem in that sense? Is the people who are is the wrong people having pets?
But you know, like what she said about a lot of vets giving subsidized rates. I know so many vets who ended up taking in animals because people don't have money to keep those animals.
Sure,
but they do it under the table because if you start letting people know about they'll end up with a lot of animals outside.
With animals.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so I just feel like so angry for them whenever I hear people say that vets are like evil or they're like blah, blah, blah. Because I personally don't do that much GP work now because I started doing this house call thing. I don't stay in a clinic. But when I was in the clinic, we get this all the time. And it gets so frustrating. Like, I've been out for like 12, 13 years in practice.
Yep.
A lot of my friends are no longer working as vets because they got so mentally exhausted.
Burned out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they would just see you nonstop?
No, it's just the mental stress of like not being appreciated at times. People can change really fast when you talk to them about money.
So at one point they can be
really happy with you. Next thing they are like, oh, why are you charging me this much?
So this is why we need to have some regulation. And that's why the Veterinary Council is meant to be set up by 2025, right? This is what we're hearing. It has announced that it's going to look into ethics of services provided, among other things, novel therapies as well. Tell us, what is it going to do? Tell us a little bit more
about this council and what will it do.
Yeah. So the Veterinary Council, we will be setting it up, but the intention of the council is to raise and to maintain the standards for the veterinary profession in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So as part of that, it would be involved in the registration or currently... vets are licensed, but vets would be registered with the council. We would also be looking at the registration or regulations for vet paraprofessionals. So currently the nurses and technicians we work with in the clinics are not they're not licensed, but they're a very important part of the care system. So we want to also have the council look into the accreditation of certain schools, the acceptance of certain to state which degrees would be recognized to practice in Singapore. So in essence, creating something similar to what the medical profession in Singapore has.
It won't look at pricing.
No.
Okay.
Just coming back to the people in the industry, right, in this sector.
Mm.
So based on the interviews we've done and the news reports, they seem to be plagued by manpower issues, particularly with the para staff, right? The nurse staff,
the nurses, technicians.
Yeah,
technicians.
Both for para vets and for vets as well.
Mm. Oh, for vets as well?
Yeah. But the vet, this is actually a global phenomenon, I think. Okay. Like what Angeline has mentioned, we are seeing this in many countries. Mm. It's not just unique to Singapore. And it has been happening steadily over the years. I think COVID kind of brought out the worst of it. When we went into a lockdown, a lot of these folks started, I think everyone started to reassess our lives and what we really wanted from it. And I think there's an increased focus on mental health and the awareness.
So for me, that's the disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you have such a flourishing breeding business or pet business, you know. You walk into any pet shop and there's all these cute puppies and people pick them up. So it's on the uptick, right? Mm. Pet ownership is on the uptick.
Yep. Yes.
People are having pets instead of children now. But on the other hand, so you're not fixing that kind of
will the council look at the breeding farms? Will there be any kind of regulation? There is some now, but I guess will that be looked at more seriously?
Maybe if I could describe it as the hardware and the software being people, the council will actually be looking at people, at the folks who are working as vets or within the profession. So veterinarians, vet nurses, vet technicians.
But not on the other side.
But for hardware, for physical premises and entities who are doing the licensing of actual physical infrastructure, that would still continue to be under AVS.
Mm.
And for the pet sector, where boarders and breeders are concerned, this would continue to be regulated by AVS.
Mm. Okay. Mm, okay. So there is regulation. It's just that demand. So the tap is still flowing. So then your infrastructure to manage animals
cannot meet.
Yeah. So the demand is happening everywhere. And the worst is Singapore doesn't have our own vet school. So if you think about it, like all of us actually studied overseas, right? Where did the money come from? Our parents. Yeah. Other than, you know, scholarship holders.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Everything else come from our parents. Mm. So we have this stress to come back and pay back our debts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Nobody would take a private loan now because it's so expensive.
Sure.
So then if you look at it, I think there's a huge problem here. So if you see like most of the specialists we have in Singapore, most of them are not locals.
They have to go overseas.
Yeah. Because
they have to go overseas for training, right?
Yes, because most of the locals can't afford to continue, you know, doing this residency, doing everything.
Do you think that offering a degree in Singapore would help?
I don't think we can afford to have a vet degree in Singapore because we don't have farms. You know, we do so much farm work while studying in New Zealand. I mean,
you don't have farms.
For the training.
You could work out something, but I do echo Angeline's sentiment. Part of the reason why we are seeing such a shortage of vets is because our vets all train overseas when you graduate. If you are in your current place where you graduated from, somebody offers you a job, I think that would be a very strong temptation to stay on and then work there for a couple of years, gain experience before you reconsider your options. Yeah, not everyone returns, actually. I know quite a lot of people who were fortunate enough were not compelled to return immediately to Singapore to work.
But I mean, this is, I guess, a different challenge. And this is something that I don't think we can change just like that. But maybe from your point of view, what would be high on your wish list if we could fix something, reevaluate the way we perhaps look at pets, own pets? I mean, what would you like to say?
I think I would like to see pet owners think hard, or maybe members of the public think hard before they take on owning a pet. I want people to think about where they're sourcing for animals from. Mm-hmm. If possible, at all times, consider adopting as opposed to buying. Within AVS, we've seen a spike actually in smuggled puppies and animals from across the border. And this often results in very poor welfare for these animals when they're being brought in, and the fact that they are they could also be carrying disease or other pathogens, which we want to keep out of Singapore for good reason. So as far as possible, think if something appears to be too cheap to be true, it probably is. In fact, I think there is a pet, a responsible pet ownership course now for...
But it's not like you not like you have to. They should make it right.
Actually, I think it is mandatory. Yes. It is now mandatory before you license your cat.
So what's going to happen? People just don't license their animals.
So as part of the cat regulatory framework, when you go online to license your cat, you have to complete this online course.
Correct.
It's but done can you online. Fail this course?
Well,
you can't.
It makes you go through. All
so at
the
least you know.
At least you know you have an.
You shouldn't put the cat in.
Yeah, I won't tell you about all the unlicensed people that I know who have pets. Yeah, because
my first wish is that we should slowly phase out pet shops, and instead we value those legal, responsible breeders out there, and we buy directly from them.
Okay.
Because if we do that, then you can ensure that the puppies or the kittens are going to be better quality because you value these people who are going to do genetic tests and make sure that they breed better animals. A lot of the pet shop import from overseas because it's a lot cheaper and easier to get licensing. For pet breeding in Singapore is not that easy to get license, right?
I see. Okay.
You have to go
okay.
to the farm, blah, blah, blah.
So I think we don't find many breeders.
Actually, a lot of the pet breeders overseas are not better than ours. Like, for example, those pet breeding in Ireland is really bad. You can watch their documentaries. You can go look it up. But and instead of giving the problem to another country, if we license our pet breeders well and we slowly phase out the middleman, which is the pet shops, I think the industry will improve.
A long-term plan to improve the entire ecosystem. You know?
Yeah, but it also starts with us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many times I have heard people, young people, the minute they get the home, they're thinking of getting a pet.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay.
Not quite knowing what's in store for them.
No, your lifestyle changes completely. It's like having a baby in the house.
Exactly.
You will never be able to go away again. I mean, every time you go away on vacation.
Not so severe. I mean, I think my affinity, I love my pets, but not that much. I still go on holiday with them.
You clearly don't love your pets that much.
Yeah, I enjoy their company. I'm not in love with them. Yeah, so I got to admit, I'm not a fur parent. I'm a real parent with real kids. So I'll be very honest.
But your wife is the fur parent.
Yeah, more so. Yeah. Well, all of you listening in, I'm sure you will have thoughts. Many of you out there own pets too, so let us know what you think. And this is definitely a good episode. You know why? Because we can say this episode has been vetted.
Oh my God. Grown.
Vetted not once, but twice, because we've got two vets in the house.
Yes, exactly. Okay, but getting a pet is a costly affair, so please tread carefully. Thanks to the team, Junaidi Johari, Tiffany Ang, Saye Win, Joanne Chan, and To Yen Yun. Sound mixing is by Ken Delbridge. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Remember, double vetted episode.